I have news for Europeans. You lost the arms race by a knockout. You're not even, you are behind the weapon generations by two generations, not one, but by two. And so they don't have resources. They don't have industrial wherewithal. And the only thing they can do now is to grab or hold on, you know what, at some things which they still have, like Airbus, you know. They can do Airbus. They still have this residual, you know what, expertise and wherewithal to do that. But other than that, even Ben Hodges, which I hope to speak on the first, you know, so today didn't work out. So he admitted, because his background was actually when he was growing up as an officer in the logistics. Even he admitted, surprise, surprise, that he said, logistically, NATO cannot perform. Wow. The whole, you know, common sense, you know, from Mr. Hodges, you know, that, yeah, correct. Russians are not idiots. Again, as I already stated, there is a whole department, you know, directorate in the general staff, which know what is the logistics of NATO in Europe. It's not done for the war. While NATO was more or less defensive alliance in 1960s, 1970s and all that, when British had the Army of the Rhine, you know, they had the Bundeswehr and all this. Everybody was supposed to fight in their own places, with the exception, obviously, of the occupation forces, which are United Kingdom and United States. But it was defensive, and at least it wasn't required that long lines of communications. Everything was prepositioned, and yeah, there was the total different technological paradigm at that time. Today, how do they want to fight? How are they going to deliver force? And I can sit here and I approximately can say that what will be required for NATO to survive first 2 weeks if they want to fight Russia, let's say, in Ukraine. That will be interesting without going nuclear because they will be annihilated. But they don't have it. They just don't.
And, you know, I mean, we can sit here and dog the Europeans. We can dog the Ukrainians, which we'll do here in a second because they're opening their mouth to deserve it. But you have to also add the United States into that because whatever Rubio said, Trump is saying, they seem to be totally disconnected from reality. And that headline that Gary again just put up there, which is, has a date of 6 hours ago, apparently the U.S. has changed their mind on some things and have gone more in the direction of Zelensky, which might help explain why he made this cocky statement earlier today.
Occupied territories remain occupied. And that means Russia remains a criminal state. Today, almost 70 parliamentary delegations are present. And if parliaments in Europe, in the world, do not close their eyes to this, then no one will.
So there you have it. Russia's a criminal state, and now he thinks he's got power in numbers. There's 17 parliaments of different countries around. How does that work out in terms of combat power, though? I wonder if you could help us out with that.
Good Lord. Can you imagine me explaining to Tom Cotton what real combined arms warfare is? So it's like... Oh, it doesn't matter. Again, United States have been thoroughly demilitarized. Unless United States wants to start delivering the remnants from the first line combat units, which are obviously what 4th Armored Division, you know, the elements of other armor force in the United States, and they want to give up the rest of it, sure, it doesn't matter. It will go in and it will be annihilated. Even Rubio stated it. And let me quote him from a week ago. Marco Rubio, no less. He says, doesn't matter what we put, give to Ukraine. The moment they install it, within a week, it's annihilated. That's Rubio. I cannot believe he came up with the proper assessment of the strategic situation. So, and in this case, yes, you're absolutely correct that United States is the main driving force behind it. But now the situation diverged a little bit. And this is the critical point. Well, obviously, Trump has no principles except for being, you know, parading himself as the greatest thing ever in the universe. But even he understood, essentially, that you need to extricate the United States from that, as I already stated, because if you want to stay great power, you have to do this now to recoup, to try to do something domestically which can help. But Europe is the sacrificial lamb. Europe will be eaten. Apart from the Chinese also have plans for Europe, by the way. And so when you look at this, yeah, the United States can do whatever it wants. Conventionally, it cannot fight the war. And it has been thoroughly demilitarized, and it also have been thoroughly paraded, manifested in terms of the technological paradigm and operational planning and art that it's not on the par anymore, if it ever was. And so no matter what they do, it is internal West's affair. However United States will shuffle with, you know, with Europeans doesn't really matter for Russians, because as I already stated, even Wall Street Journal admits that, yeah, it's the December 2021 statement by the Russian Foreign Ministry. That's the famous, you know, letter, you know, peremptory as they were, which was designed not to be fulfilled. Oh, well, maybe, but primarily it was to state the clear position on what was coming in February. That's it. Here are the root causes. Address them, and there will be no war. Nobody addressed them. So, as you know, that, oh, good Lord, not this moron. Good Lord. So, yeah, and so in the end, what can I say? It's a situation which is bad end for combined West. It's over.
And, you know, one of the things, and again, Gary's just on fire today. One of the things that really irks me, this is just one of many from the West, and this is John Bolton here. The question for the West is, are we going to force an invaded country to accept an unacceptable peace? That implies that there is a belief, and you see it's across the United States and Europe and certainly in the Ukraine, that there is a belief that there's a choice that can be made as if, well, if we don't want to force this peace on the Ukraine, so instead what we'll do is what? I mean, militarily, what can anyone do? There is no right. Andre, I'm telling you, this is one of the really alarming things for all of our audience here. There is apparently an actual belief in the West, not just rhetoric, but actual belief that we can just choose to win this war if only we want to, and that Russia somehow will submit to this or be compelled into terms of our with. But tell me if I'm missing something here. I don't even see the theoretical possibility that there's anything we have that we could apply that would change the calculus in Moscow.
Well, you see, that's the problem, because you are a military professional with a combat experience, with a proper, you know, experience serving into, at that time, one of the best armies in the world. And the United States did have, at that time, one of the best armies in the world, if not for a short period of time, the best. Especially when Russia was basically drowning in the 1990s. It was the first army in the world. So, but the point is that you cannot explain to them. That's the whole point. Yeah, they have belief. The problem is I can have belief that I'm Superman. Let me get on the, you know, roof of my house and fly. Listen, I need obviously the proper trunks and, you know, a blue attire and things like that and cape. So, but other than that, it doesn't matter what they say. You're absolutely right. They're shaking the air, because John Bolton, even the bunch of the people in, especially those two star and up over, you know, generals and Pentagon, they have no clue. And yes, you're standing correct, problem and question. What can they do? What? They're going to send what? Fourth Armored Division or Second Division into? So yeah, how long it's going to exist there, you know, under present condition and with the United States military having no viable air defense, no viable air force which can actually operate within the modern environment. And so, okay, what else? Do they want to start the Third World War? That's why I voted for Trump. Because I knew if we vote for this, you know, cackling idiot Kamala and the criminal gang by Biden, you know, the corpse of Biden, rather, you know, so there was a good chance that it would come down to nuclear exchange. Because those lawyers, those morons like Sullivan or Blinken, people with zero understanding of military realities and industrial realities, they were so desperate already then that they could have driven the world actually to the brink of the nuclear exchange. That is why we went for Trump. Now we know who Trump is now, you know, don't we? So, but at least there is some group in his administration, which haven't been the case with Biden administration, which understands their ramifications. And those people want to leave because they understand that once it flies, their relatives, their sons, daughters, wives, mothers, fathers will be gone. And then after that is all over, there is another thing which I do not even want to go there into the nuclear issue here. But that's it. And so Mr. Bolton, who won't understand the first thing about anything modern warfare related, he has no toolkit. They have to continue to, you know, shake the air, to purge this hot air, talking about that, oh, yeah, we have the choice. No, you don't. And that's it.
And before I let you go here, I want to ask one last thing from a perspective. You've written a lot of books on the military. You understand both tactics, operations, and strategic and ramifications. And you already talked about the disparity within the East and the West here. There was something we talked about a little bit earlier today. I want to play you a short video from Alex from History Legends, who was analyzing an article that he found in again, the BBC, and in this case, BBC was accurately reporting, as you'll see in a second, about a military exercise, a training exercise in, I think it was conducted in it was either in Poland or in the Czech Republic, but it included both Poland and Czech leaders.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They were training some new recruits from the Ukrainian side. This is in October. And I'm going to let him talk for himself, but I'm just going to, even without any more setup, I want you to analyze what he found about the training from the West. Watch this.
They were surprised by scenarios where an APC crosses a river. They told instructors directly that any equipment will be destroyed by drones before it even approaches the shore. Then came the Czechs. During one of those exercises, Czech paratroopers had to storm Ukrainian positions. So you have Czech troops playing Team Red. They were commanded by an instructor called Jakub, a veteran from Afghanistan, while the Ukrainian Team Blue was preparing for the defense. The exercise starts. Czech troops leave the assembly area. I believe they formed attack columns and then advanced towards Ukrainian positions. Meanwhile, the Ukrainians simply launched their Mavic drones. Then the article says that after the first attempt, instructor Jakub stopped the scenario and asked, "Can we take out the Mavics?" Ukrainian Commander 18 asked why. The Czech Commander Jakub replied, "You find us too fast with your Mavics, and we can't get to you. You detect us on the approach to your positions." Wow.
That's Western NATO troops thinking that they're helping the Ukrainians prepare for modern war. What does that tell you about the actual training for NATO troops?
Well, General Von Riper, Millennium Falcon 2002, and we all know what happened there. He just freaking destroyed the Blue Force. Next morning, they come back to this war games. They reset everything back and say, "Oh, we have additional life," like in the game. He's like, he turned around and said, "Screw you, people," because that's what was happening always. Well, I don't know why this guy, where he was sleeping under what stone for the last 20 years, 25 actually, but even my friend Stas Krapivnik, a major, he served at the staff of the 18th Air Corps in the U.S. Army. He lives in Russia now. He said, "Yeah, we did the thing, you know, the 82nd, 101st, and I don't remember what other division was in this corps, against the Russian tank army." He said, "Oh my God, are you kidding me? Light cavalry is actually fighting tank army." And he said, in 2010. And he said, next morning we come in and it's like, what happened? They have now again to the 100% strengths. They all replenished, no losses. Everything is in there. It's like, what the hell, man? And so that was already then. Now, if you go to my last video yesterday, I put the Business Insider from 2023. It's Business Insider. In order for me not to be accused of being pro-Russian or Russian rah-rah or biased, the officers of Ukrainian army, after what they encountered in this famous counter-offensive 2023, and I quote, you can find this, it's all over the place, "We have to discard all this NATO training because if we would fight as Americans taught us, we would be dead by now." They come back to the good old combat manuals. And now, anybody who thinks that you can build your battalion into the company columns, and then you have the company columns into the platoon columns and approach this in the security zone, I have a bridge to sell them. They don't understand what modern net-centric warfare is, what recon fire and recon strike complexes are, and that the field is monitored 24/7, every minute. You probably saw this thing about the wounded Russian guy. He had the Azart, you know, the radio station. He has this thing, and the drone tells him, and he has this leg, well, pretty seriously wounded. So he crawls back into the building. And the guys drawn up and say, okay, you have two Yukis coming in. You can find it. This video is there. So they those Yukis run into this thing, you know, into this building and take the position there while the Russian guy sits behind them. And then once he saw it, two shots, gone. And, you know, after that, he is extricated and they're taken care of medically and he's fine. So this is how the war fight is fought today, you know, and obviously you can do those columns, but do you want to, you know, if you need to conduct the operations within the operational and strategic framework, which exists today in the front line? No, you want to physically kill the rest of the Ukrainian force. And I constantly repeat Alexander Svechin's from his magnum opus strategy that taking the territory is a necessary evil. You have to do it. But you do it only to kill your enemy. And then, of course, depending on what is the political outcome, you judge it as being liberated and part of your acquisition, which is happening right now, essentially. And Russians essentially pushing out the rest of whatever's left of this army to the borders and beyond the borders of the four new territorial oblasts of Russia, which is, of course, Kherson, Zaporozhye, Donetsk, and Lugansk. Lugansk is fully liberated. Donetsk is about to. So, and that's the war. That's modern war. It's 24/7 ISR all over the place. You communicate on the level of platoon. You can report immediately to the Army Corps if you have to, you know, so.
Yeah, see, that's one of the things that troubled me so much about that report from Alex on this article. Because that implies that the lessons that were painfully learned in 2023, the things that didn't work on the field, especially in combined arms operations in the Bradley graveyard, as everyone came to know later, none of those lessons have been learned because we're still trying to teach them. That is shocking to me.
Well, but I mean, what else can they do? How many?
Well, they can change, man. They can recognize the reality.
I know, but listen, that's the problem. My favorite article from the Military Review from 2023, I believe, by Mr. Herrera. Wonderful review, outstanding actually, about Auftrag's tactic, you know, which United States wanted to copy. To own detriment, I can send it to you. It's wonderful. And it explains how they just absolutely stuck in this rut. They don't understand what is happening. And there are so many things which are, for example, they were copying Germans and he was asking the very, poignant question. If Germans, if Wehrmacht was that good, why did they lose? You know, this is just obvious thing to ask, you know, but no. And this is United States now is paying the price, essentially, through the also officer corps, through all those war colleges and general staff and command colleges, and, you know, that it was written for NATO by Wehrmacht generals. They shaped the views on the combined arms warfare of NATO. I mean, again, I will repeat the fact which is well known. Mr. Manstein and Mr. Hauser, among many other Wehrmacht generals, were officially employed by the U.S. Department of War, if you wish. Yeah. You know, so they wrote those histories. They wrote those things. They wrote those operational manuals. And when you look at Anthony today at the Army Doctrinal Publication, ADP, FM3-0, you look at this, it's like, oh, yeah, that is all nice if you play the computer game. The problem is, where do you see those long-range fires? How do you deploy them? What to do with those assembly areas when For example, Russians see 24/7, and this is the targeting. How do you deploy your brigade? How you spread it in order for it not to be annihilated? And so it's just, you look at this like, good Lord, you have to throw it away because it's written for who knows what kind of war. And yeah. The question was not that to improve the U.S. Army. I mean, U.S. Army had the, nobody denies the glory and heroism of American soldier during World War II, you know, especially, you know, so nobody says it. But they didn't study Soviet Army. They didn't study Red Army properly. The only guy I know, apart from obviously geniuses, best, not only American, one of the best global military historians, are of course Colonel David Glantz and Lieutenant mm-hmm. Colonel Jonathan House, who wrote this fundamental work. Even that work suffers a little bit, but at least it's like proper professional view of things. But when you look attentively at how it is being taught, especially British, good Lord, when you read this guy, Anthony Beaver, he's not military, he graduated, good Lord. I mean, the guy is the falsifier, he writes all kinds of political crap, and even Glantz and House, they stated, in 2005, they stated that basically everything was shaped by the Germans. And they presented Russians like this, you know, waves of the, which is complete garbage, you know, it's just yeah. good Lord. It's, and so there you go. And we have the situation, and it continues. And until there is there cultural DNA, can cultural DNA be changed? It can, but nobody wants that. I certainly don't want that if the United States sustains catastrophic defeat on proper United States proper geographically. God forbids. Nobody wants that. Right. But that's the only thing which is going to change it. But they will continue, especially the way the whole thing is set up, they will continue to live within this paradigm. And some people, very many people, actually, American officers like yourself and senior officers who went through and they saw things, yeah, and they say, oh, no, that's not right. They're not going to be allowed anywhere the levers of the power and influence. As simple as that.
Yeah, yeah, that, I've seen that play out for sure.
Oh, personally, we know your story. We know your story really well, man.
Yeah, almost accidentally got in there, but then they found out, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we'll have to wait and see how this is going to play out. I mean, we know generally how it's going to play out. We just don't know the specifics, and it's just so, so agonizing that it's going to mean a lot more people have to unnecessarily die, and that's just what just
that's what
makes it so anguishing to me to watch, you know, all these great European leaders, so-called, and oblivious to the human cost on the ground at their actions. But
they're psychopaths.
And that will eventually be excoriated and exposed, but it'll come at a high cost, and we regret that. But we here, and thankfully you as well, are nothing but providing ammunition and evidence and truth. Because we are unintimidated and uncompromised, and that's one of the reasons we love having you on the show, and because you have good videos on Smoothie X12, and we recognize and ask people to go there and get more, so you don't have to wait, because you got some good videos that are already out there that are recent. So recommend people go and see that. But in any case, thank you so much for coming on today.
My pleasure. Anytime, guys. Bye-bye.
And we thank you very much, too. Be sure and like and subscribe if you haven't done that. That helps us out more than you may know. And we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.